The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell DC, interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. I've got a great program for you today. And as always, you know, bringing you the most current and updated information as I possibly can, because you deserve it and you need to have the information to move forward in the world and so forth. You know, I've purposely tried to stay away from the controversy as of, you know, the last few months relative to all the craziness that's going out there. But there comes a time when I can't keep my lips closed anymore and I need to give you information that is important that you can make decisions with. And we're not going to really get into the controversy, but to understand something, people keep asking me a question. Hey, doc, you know, what is your position on, you know, what's going on in the world? What's your position on whether or not I should take the COVID vaccine? What's your position on the side effects and so forth? Well, let me simply say that when it comes to any decisions in the world that affects you, your family, and so forth, I think that you need to be able to make that decision and nobody should be able to force it upon you. You need to weigh both sides of the platform and listen to the things that give you as much data that are fundamentally objective and then decide in concert, if it's with your family, with them, as far as the steps that you're going to take moving forward. Anything less than that, in my opinion, is dictatorial, and you're being told what to do. You know, somebody asked me, Doc, you've been in practice over 44 years, and I said, yep, absolutely. And have you ever, gotten a flu shot and so forth? Again, this is my decision. It's not something that I tell you to do, but it's based on the information that I'm aware of and that I want for my body. And I say, look, the last time that I had anything injected into my body, I was at Quantico, Virginia, in my second increment going through boot camp down there. And I was there two summers, and I was a PLC candidate at the time, platoon leader's class in the Marine Corps. And I didn't have an option. That was a decision that I had to make. And it was Vietnam era, and God knows what they put into your body at that time. And there was some residuals afterwards that kind of showed up. But being in the world that I'm in, I was able to take care of them. Now, we're in a situation where you have to look at the statistics, the real ones, and making sure that you have the data in front of you. You have to know what the side effects, the sequelae of your decisions are, and then go from there. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to tell you some places that you can go to get some data. And then we're going to talk about vitamin D3 again, and its impact that it has on viral patterns across the board, and the ability that it has to inhibit, meaning stop the growth, the ability for the thing to go further. And if we have a little bit of time, we're going to get into the consumers' advocacy, supposedly the U.S. government, here we go again, right, wanting a mandatory beef labeling. And what does that mean? Some of you are very aware of it, and we need to look at all those things. But let's, you know, I want you to think outside the box when it comes to certain things. There's a lot of data out there. A lot of it's confusing. If we look to Europe right now, a lot of the European countries are moving forward to try to shelve the vaccines, and simply because of the fact that there are multiple ways of treating this that are extremely effective. And the rules of the game of engagement in healthcare is that when you have effective treatments, then you shouldn't be forced to do something other than that. So when you go through and you look at this COVID-19 pandemic, and we're in that 2-year period now, you know, we're coming up to the end of the year when all this started to sneak upon us, and it's God help us that we've lived through this thing. You know, one country that kind of slipped away from the media spotlight is Sweden. They talked about it early on, but why isn't anyone talking about Sweden these days? Why isn't it back up on the Richter scale? especially since in, you know, the early portion, the media was convinced that the Swedes, you know, were in a problem situation. They were going to kill tons of people, and because of their no masking, if you remember, there are no shutdown policies, and they were bound to, you know, destroy their country and their people. So what really happened instead is that, you know, instead of there being the lead in deaths per capita, Sweden today ranks 40th behind dozens of countries that instituted strict masking policies and lockdowns. 40th. They're down at the bottom of the scale. It's craziness, right? And according to Zero Hedge, if you will, I'm going to quote something to you. It says, other countries saw their countries saw their cumulative mortality rates skyrocket. Sweden dropped precipitously in the rankings due to their consistent, sustainable methods, end quote. Now, think about that for a second. Here's a country that didn't lock down. Here's a country that didn't demand masking. They kept their schools open. They kept all kinds of things going on, and they're in great shape. Why is that? Well, let's do a comparison. Let's look at Los Angeles, you know, which has only had 37 days where people were allowed to go maskless in the last 530 days since the pandemic was declared. COVID deaths ranks in the top 10 in worldwide data accumulation. Then compare fully vaccinated Israel to Sweden. Sweden currently averaging about 90 cases per million people, 90 cases per million people. Israel is averaging 1,218 cases. Now, this is straight up data. I've got it in front of me. So, you know, we're not giving you an opinion here. We're giving you actual information. Specifically, the comparison is even more dramatic, if you will, when you look at it this way. Zero Hedge points this out. Between July 10th and September 7th, Sweden reported 56 total deaths. Now, total deaths, we're not saying due to COVID. Israel reported 56 deaths just on September 8th. What's going on here? Why is this so stark and different? So why aren't we talking about this? Why isn't it on the media? Why aren't we demanding that we, on our television networks, whether it's CNN or Fox or One America News, or that we have both sides in a straight up conversation presenting hard data so you and me and our families that we can look at this and make decisions accordingly for ourselves? Could there be behind the scenes an attempt to control? I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to you. But we have opinions that are not objective. And everybody's reporting on everybody else's data, and nobody has their own site. If you watch CNN, you get one presentation. You watch Fox, you get another presentation. You watch something else, you get another presentation. So you have to make sure that you find the data and you act accordingly. So I'm going to let you say with that, there's, you know, I want you to go look at Zero Hedge September 17th, and it's this year, and check it out. You can look it up very easily, and there's not a problem. So as we go through, there's a lot of reporting going on. There's a nurse that was working for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and we'll call her a whistleblower, if you will, you know, on how health officials were ignoring and covering up the COVID-19 vaccine injuries. So understand something. With every decision that you make, there's the good news and then there's the bad news. And you have to weigh it accordingly and make a decision for yourselves. Are you willing to take the risk? It's not a zero-sum situation. It's actually looking at the risk balances. And, you know, if you're trained and if you're educated, as I did with my children and my family over the years, to think through processes, ask the question, why? What's the data behind it that supports it? And by the way, the last question where you really get a lot of information is who benefits from what it is that's being directed to do. And I'm put that in your pocket, and you can make a decision accordingly. Jody O'Malley says she sees dozens of people come in with all kinds of crazy adverse reactions. Remember, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, okay? Including myocarditis. That's an inflammatory reaction of the muscle of the heart, congestive heart failure, and other types of conditions, but also deaths. Yet these reactions aren't being reported even through the FDA or the CDC as they're supposed to be reported. They're required to do that, but they're not there. Why is that? Again, I'll ask you to ask the right questions and try to find out. So if everyone is supposed to gather this data and report it, but no one's reporting it, how will anyone know whether the vaccine is truly safe? In my lifetime, I've never seen anything come down the pike so quickly. You know, I was one of these kids that back in the day had to stand in line for the Salk vaccine and the polio vaccine and, you know, the tablet and the injection and so forth. And, you know, we went through all those things and there was a lot of interesting data that came up after that. Say, oh, look, the drop in rates. Well, what they didn't tell you is that with smallpox and polio, but particularly polio with the Salk and Sabin vaccine, the rate had already begun to drop in the late 40s before they initiated the vaccine in the early 50s. So when you start looking at something like that, again, it provokes a question, why is that? Why is that happening? So we're going back to O'Malley, right? And, you know, her coworkers were forced to take the vaccine even though they didn't want to. And unfortunately, O'Malley reported that this woman died after taking it. Here's the thing. Nobody should have to decide between their livelihood and a vaccine. Think about all these frontline workers, you know, for the last 18 months to almost 2 years now, our office including. Okay, we've treated a lot of people that later on, you know, we found out were sick with COVID and so forth. And my doctors have had any problems. We were face to face with them before we knew we had a mask. But if you walk in our office today, we're very protective. We have a huge HEPA filter sitting in our reception area that'll kill 99% of all viral patterns within an hour. We have HEPA filters plugged into most every treatment room in the office. We have we just initiated a thermal scan through thermographic imaging, so we catch everybody as they're walking through the door. And we're doing that just to make sure that everybody is comfortable. But going back to what we were talking about, no one should be forced, in my opinion, to take anything into their body, particularly when there are medications out there such as ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, that have been proven to be safe and effective against this viral pattern and other viruses as well across the board. Yet, everybody that's out there are health officials. Are pointing to, you got to do this, otherwise you're going to lose your job. In my opinion, everything that we've done so far doesn't follow the science. Science is extremely objective. It shows both sides. Science tries to disprove something, not use the information to prove it accordingly. So you have to make sure that you are looking at all the data and making a decision for yourselves and for your family, because anything short of that is something that you're being forced to do. You know, back in when the Affordable Care Act came out, there was a provision within the Affordable Care Act. And why do I know this? Because I briefed different organizations throughout the country for 2 years after it came out. There was a provision that says that the government, in concert with local medical physicians and organizations, can, in the light of a pandemic or an epidemic of any sort, can decide what the fix is. They can decide what you need to do to take care of it on their discretion. If you decide that that is something that you don't want to do, if they feel that you're a threat to society, at their decision, they can pull you out, put you into a quarantine environment until they feel that the pandemic or the situation has lifted. Now, think about the ramifications of that and how that it's their decision. How do they do that? And that was something that came out. And when I reported that to people, they looked at me and said, you know, how can this be true? You know, how can anybody force anybody to do something against their own will? Well, at the end of the day, they could do that. Coming up to a break, you're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I have a whole lot more for you. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am. By the way, I want to say, you know, it was a pleasure meeting several of you last night at the thermography lecture in our office at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. I had to step in for our thermographer, Dareth Painter, simply because of the fact that she had a little bit of a lower body stress pattern going on. But anyway, it was fun. And hopefully, one, I gave you as much data as that you needed and wanted and so forth. But it was really fun, you know, being back on the platform again and actually, you know, being one-on-one with all of you. So thanks for that. Want to get back into the program a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit more about viral patterns, but more importantly, things that you can do to protect yourself across the board. And, you know, we're not going to get, again, the data that I'm giving you is simply so you can make your decisions. I'm a strong believer that if you want to go have the vaccine, that should be your decision based on information, but you shouldn't force anybody else to follow your direction. You know, you can have a conversation, go back and forth with hard facts, but at the end of the day, we decide for ourselves what it is that we should be doing and move forward accordingly. And here, I want to leave you with this thought. If a vaccine, regardless of what it is, whether it's a normal influenza vaccine or it's a COVID vaccine or if it's something for, you know, SARS and any of those things, or, you know, here's the deal. If it works, right? And if I choose or somebody else chooses not to have the vaccination, but if the vaccine works, you shouldn't have to worry about me because you're protected. Now, if that's not the case, then there's something else going on behind the scenes. You know, so understand that piece. Whatever you decide, please decide based on objective information and realize it's your decision for you and your family and the sequela. Whatever takes place after that, good or if there's a challenge afterwards, is something that was based on the information and the data that you've pulled apart. Now, well, my doctor said so. Well, a lot of doctors say so, and there's a lot of other doctors that are out there that say completely opposite things. Through my professional career, I had to take immunological courses when I was in undergraduate school leading into the field that I'm into, and then I had to take them when I was in my doctoral program as well. But because of the things that I do and seeing thousands and thousands of patients over a 44-year career, there are things that make sense and things that do not make sense. And when you look at something that says, it just doesn't make a lot of sense, that's the thing that says stop and think. Don't just react. Look at something very differently. So I'm going to leave it with this. I want you to understand that there's a money game behind all of this too, and you have to decide if that's true or if it's false for yourself. But between Pfizer and the U.S. government, the contracts show that Pfizer is being paid about $3.5 billion for its mRNA COVID vaccine. And that goes to supposedly, you know, low and middle income countries. That's not here in the United States. That's money taken out of our tax dollars and being sent overseas. That deal was signed, by the way, in July of this year, July 31st, and you can find it. You can look for it, but go out and ask, but ask yourself the question, why is that? Is it because we're such great bleeding hearts that we want to make sure that everything's okay? But these 300 million dosages, it's craziness. Think through the process, my friends, and make your own decisions accordingly. Let's talk about some other things that are happening and how I can help you. And again, we're here for one reason and one reason only, is simply because of the fact that, you know, it's all about you. There's a lot of research out there that simply says that saline solution, okay, this is salt solution, will stop the replication of the SARS-CoV-2 and that the virus, you know, can be eradicated just by that. Now, is it true? I'm giving that so you can do a little research. I want to provoke you. Remember, my goal is to provoke you a little bit so you'll say, oh, you're crazy, you know, Dr. Tom, but get out there and look at it. So this study began early in 2020, last year, and was reported on a server by BioRx IV. So that's lowercase B-I-O and then capital R, lowercase x, and small I, and then V. In August 2020, and it was published in the Journal of Pharmacology and Translational Science, here's what the author said, quote, in this study, we found that 1.5% sodium chloride salt inhibited stopped the virus ability to replicate by 100% in viral cells, and 1.1% sodium chloride was sufficient to inhibit virus replication by 88%. Craziness, right? So why aren't you hearing about that? Salt water is going to stop the viral pattern. Salt. So why are we subjecting ourselves to things that might have more deadly reactions than salt? I don't know, but you got to ask those questions. Why is that the case? There is so much that is going on out there that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but if salt does that, so I want you to look at the data. Got a lot more for you. We got a short segment right now. We're coming up to a break. Stay tuned. Don't go away. I'll be right back after some critical messages.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I've got some kind of interesting and provoking information and conversation for you today. So make sure you stay tuned. Remember, my goal is to make you go do your homework and make sure you make your decisions accordingly on objectivity, not on somebody's hearsay or demand that you do X, Y, and Z. The thing that I grew up with, and, you know, I'm first generation to this country. Many of you know that. Some of you don't. My parents came to this country because they believed in a system that gave them opportunity and gave them the process of decision-making, that they could have the ability to direct their own lives. We're living in a world right now, particularly in our world, in the confines of this country and many other countries as well, that is taking that ability away from us. We're being forced to mandate. You know, and I'm going to take it to an extreme. If you decide that you don't want to do X, Y, and Z, and you're putting yourself at risk, and you're not affecting anybody else, then the impunity that goes along with that is something that needs to be suspect. Think about it this way. And I said this in the first part of the program. If any vaccine works, whether it's this vaccine, the COVID vaccine that's being pushed out, and all the different types of these vaccines, or if it's going back to the old flu vaccine, or it's going back to any other vaccine, if it works, and you don't have to, if that vaccine works, you shouldn't have to worry about me if I'm not vaccinated, right? You decide to go get the vaccine, and if I said I'm not going to do it or somebody else is not going to do it, but you're vaccinated, your immune system should be strong enough to handle it. If that's not the case, and you're still putting yourself at risk, why is that? Why is that the situation? You know, we talked about before we broke for the half of the program, sodium chloride research that's being done. Sodium chloride is salt. That's all it is. And there was a publication in Pharmacology and Translational Science, and the authors said that, quote, in this study, we found that 1.5% sodium chloride inhibited the virus replication by 100%. And in another study, 1.1% sodium chloride, okay, just a little bit less, was sufficient to inhibit virus replication by 88%. So if simple injection of sodium chloride or sodium into the body would stop the replication of this virus by that much, why are we going so crazy? The researchers based their work on a previous confirmed success with in vitro activity, that's, you know, cellular activity, sodium chloride against the other RNA viruses, such as things like meningovirus and respiratory syncytial virus, you know, this RSV thing that's out there, influenza A, human coronaviruses, 229E, and coxsackievirus virus B3. Now, those are a whole lot of different applications and studies. So they considered, they used the solution that they were using as a hypertonic solution. In other words, here's what it is. It was at a higher concentration to dissolve sodium chloride than it would normally be found in a sodium chloride solution. They're usually less than that. But using the formula on monkey kidney cells, and that's what they did it on, they found that it's possible that this hypertonic solution could be investigated as a prophylaxis or an alternative treatment for COVID-19 patients and, by extension, other viral patterns as well. They nebulized 3% hypertonic saline treatment for infants with moderate to severe bronchiolectasis problems. And it was safe and without any observable side effects. It's craziness. So if something like this works that well, why are we so crazy about getting these vaccines in our body? Now, the information is there. You can check out Pharmacology and Translational Science in this last March, March 15th, 2021, BioRxIV preprint, August 6th, 2020. And then another one called HeyDut, HAIDUT.ME, September 22nd, 2021. So the data is there, and it's something that you need to research. Again, I want you to do your own homework. I want you to make your decisions. I don't want anybody to force you to do something that you don't want. Anything less than that, we no longer live in a society that is free and democratic. You are not at risk if you think that the vaccine works. So I wouldn't worry about the guy around you that isn't inoculated. That's up to them. You know, if they want to take the risk factor based on the right information, both sides of the equation, not just one side of the equation, and the information's there. You just got to look, got to do a little homework, got to, you know, go through the weeds and check it out. And just because it doesn't agree with you doesn't mean it's not right. There's things that I don't agree with on a day-to-day basis, but it causes me, it provokes me to think through a process and see if I can learn something straight up. You know, we could go on, and we can talk about, you know, this Wuhan and U.S. scientists planned this airborne coronavirus release. And is that true? Maybe. I don't know. There was an article that was written and released on September 22nd. You can check that out as well. You know, we can talk about, you know, supposedly the shortages that are out there right now with all kinds of things. But then we look at cargo ships just kind of sitting offshore and not being able to deliver their goods. We can look at, you know, different whistleblowers from the CDC. So the point of it is, if you're a curious person who has a bandwidth of intelligence, you're going to check things out for yourself, and you need to take the next step in making the right decision for you and your family. Your decision, whatever it is that's right for you, and we handle the sequela, the consequences of it. I want to talk to you a little bit about vitamin D3, which we've been telling our patients about now for, you know, the last not only 20 months of this craziness, but over a period of many years. Vitamin D3 has shown, you know, it's that it has tremendous applications in any kind of viral pattern. But here's the deal. Years ago, I did a research program, and I studied zinc and vitamin D and its application to a lot of immune patterns. And we're going to talk just a little bit about zinc as well. But the active forms of vitamin D3 have shown that the vitamin metabolites, the subcompounds we call, can inhibit replication and expression of any virus, but particularly this COVID virus, because that's everybody's studying it, right? And it gets into the cell, providing there's not a barrier. The barrier is called inflammation. So if we can use something to break down the inflammatory wall, this inflammation, when you hear inflammation, think about something that's stopping transmission and penetration, whether it's with, for example, you can have problems with diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes. There's an inflammatory reaction that doesn't allow the transportation of insulin within the cell. But researchers in studying this COVID-19 and other viral patterns say their findings help explain a possible mechanism why low vitamin D levels seem to promote COVID-19 and other viral infections and poor outcomes in certain individuals. So the study correlates the relationship between vitamin D deficiency and poor disease outcomes. Significant, right? That's the thing that gets my attention. That's what says, hey, listen, there's something here that, you know, we need to look at. So there are more studies and clinical trials that are being planned to test this, even though that clinically, anecdotally, we've known this forever. And there's more information that's coming out all the time. And the parameters of vitamin D, the level that should be there now, are being raised, particularly in the functional medicine environment. There's a doctor by the name of Vasquez, who I read a lot of his research. This guy's a brainiac, and he's published more information on vitamin D and the levels that should be taken. You know, people say, well, I'm taking 1,000 milligrams of vitamin D. Probably not enough, but again, it's individualistic. On a parameter basis, 0 to 100, what we found clinically is that you want to stay as close to 90 as you possibly can. If you're taking a lot of D and your levels aren't going up, it's because you have something that's stopping the transport. We're going into the inflammatory level. But active forms of vitamin D can inhibit the replication of viral patterns, the replication machinery, the enzymes that allow this to begin to perpetuate itself. And it indicates that that vitamin D and something called lumisterol metabolites, it's a subcomponent, are tremendous candidates for the research that's being done in antiviral drug therapies. Think about this. Vitamin D is available easily. And what we found is most of our patients who have had adequate amounts of vitamin D and also taking zinc haven't had any trouble at all. And so why are they different than anybody else? Kind of interesting, right? September 2020, our omnipotent leader, Dr. Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said that he believed, this was from him, he believed that vitamin D could help fight COVID-19, although he didn't elaborate on the subject, but he knew it to be true at the time. So you have to make sure that you understand that there's other data out there that is not being shared the way it should be shared. I'm one of these guys that I question everything. You know, I don't just kind of lock into one place. Anything, I learned a long time ago that if anything is accepted as being true across the board 100% of the time, it's probably not true. It's probably being directed in some way. There always has to be both sides of a puzzle. You know, I go back to when I was in undergraduate school. I was a double major, by the way, pre-medical sciences and pre-law. And I had a guy by the name of Bocek that was from the Russian satellites at the time. And Dr. Bocek was this brilliant guy. And I was taking a class called Comparative Political Systems, you know, throughout the world. And he'd walk in, this little guy about 5'6", and wore this brown suit with horn rim glasses. And he'd say, my name is Professor Bocek. You're taking comparative political systems. And he said, what I want you to understand is that we're going to study unemotionally with references the political systems in the world and why they're good and why they're bad. And then he'd smile and he said, I'm a communist. And he says, my job is to convince you that your form of capitalism is doomed to fail. And he would laugh, but there was a class that everybody wanted because the discussion was really straight up. And he said, if this becomes emotional, he said, I will ask you to leave the class. And so anyway, we took the class and it was very straight up. And we went back and forth, you know, and he actually asked one student to leave who actually took a socialistic platform at one point. But the guy was too emotional and didn't reference. It was coming from just his platform. So what I say to you is this. The correlation is this. Don't get emotional about things. Find the research. Support your ideas, but make sure that you're willing to accept both ends of it. Find out what's out there and then weigh it. And ask yourself the question, you know, is this important for me? Right now, what's making me crazy is that these people that are, you know, have been fighting this, they're frontline workers, if you will, are being forced to lose their jobs or get the vaccine. If you have a government contract, you're forced to get the vaccine or lose the contracts. There's something not right about that. If you were safe and were able to really deal with this thing throughout the entire pandemic over the last 20 months, and now you're being forced to do something or lose your job, your livelihood, there's something that is innately not right. Why is that? And that's the question that I ask all the time. Why is it? If a patient comes in with any kind of health problem, I don't want to just treat the symptom presentation. I want to know what triggered it. I want to know why that is. I want to look at it from a neurological platform. I want to look at it from a biochemical, bioelectrical platform. And I want to look at it from an emotional state. What is driving that situation and how does it have an impact in the system and how can I treat it so the body that was designed by our creator is going to express itself adequately enough that there shouldn't be any side effects going forward? It's important that we ask those questions on an ongoing basis. Make sure that we are straight up. It's important to all of us that we're educated. It's important to all of us that we get the right data across the board, and we learn how to ask questions. You know, back in the day, I was this student that went to a school called Kent State University. And in 1970, May 4th, 1970, the National Guard came in and killed 4 students and wounded another 8. Now, most people under age of 35, if you ask them, did you study the Vietnam era? They're going to tell you that, yeah, I did. But when you ask them the question, did you know what happened at Kent State May 4th, 1970? They're going to say, what happened there? And you look at them and say, how could you not know? This is the same situation. How can you not know both sides of the information? Because there are pivot points in this country that allowed us to get to where we are. My opinion, my words, it's a dumbing down of our culture and the inability to think through a process. I encourage you, not only from a health point, but from the way that you can protect yourself and your own family, make sure you think through, get the information, get the references, understand it, see if it makes sense. Ask the question, does this make sense to me? If it doesn't make sense or if it confuses you, then it probably is not accurate and you need to do more investigation. So, I stuck my neck out a little bit today, right? But we're going to make sure that you have the ability to do your research. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I've got a whole lot more. Don't go away. I'll be right back after some very important information.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we had a little bit of a provoking program today, a little controversial. I couldn't help myself, and you know, I had promised everybody that I wouldn't get into the trenches with this thing again. But my job is to make you think, is to provoke you to do your homework, to really balance things out. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to believe me on anything that I say, but I want you to think through the process of what I said. And to get out there and start looking at multiple pieces of the puzzle and just ask yourself a simple question. Does this make sense? And if it doesn't make sense to you, because none of you are really, you know, you're blessed with a brain that really hasn't, in many cases, hasn't been taught to synthesize and think through information. We've got into a bad habit of listening, you know, to these talking heads. But every Sunday here on the Eastern Seaboard at 11 a.m., I'm going to give you as much true information as I possibly can. I'm going to give you referenced information for one reason only, is I want you to be able to say, you know, this just doesn't make sense to me. Doc, you've lost your brain on this, and go out and see if I'm right, see if I'm wrong. And you can talk to me anytime you want to. You can reach out and send me a note through two different venues. Go to drtomrozelle.com. That links into everything else that I do. So it's drtomrozelle.com. You know, look through that website. It'll go into our two offices. It'll go into Core Concepts Chiropractic. It'll go into Rozelle Center for Healing. And at the bottom, you'll see our preferred providers and just kind of scurry through it. if you see something that doesn't make sense to you, send me a note. I'll answer you. I do as best I can of answering all the emails that come in. But it's about you. It's about you making decisions for yourself and for your family. That's why we do our in-house continuing education programs on different, you know, processes, you know, migraine headaches and low back pain. And we just did one on thermography and allergy reactions, and because we're giving you other ways of approaching the subject. And I appreciate it when you don't agree with me, but disagree with me based on data that you have, not emotional knee jerks, if you will. And we can go back and forth. I don't have a problem with that at all. We just started a podcast. It's called Ageless Health with Dr. Tom Rozelle. Tune into that. All you have to do is go to RozelleRadio.com. We've got a couple of them up now. We're going to be recording a minimum of 1 to 2 a week on different subjects. Peter Leando was my guest on the last one. Peter is the go-to person in the world, as far as I'm concerned, on thermographic imaging. We had another wonderful presentation with a guy by the name of Dr. John Lawrence, who is a brainiac, if you will, when it comes to regenerative medicine. Coming up, we have a guy by the name of Dr. David Ellison, who was professor of medicine at University of Indiana for over 10 years and then got into regenerative medicine world. And we're going to be talking to David about that. And we have another gentleman by the name of Dan Alley, who's one of the top martial art experts. And we're going to talk about the application of martial arts in immunological function and how the body stays strong and how it can serve you and your family. You don't have to be brilliant at it. You just have to do certain things. It could just be simple exercise. So we have a lot of things like that that are going to be there for one reason only, because you deserve it. You need to know the information. You need to have tools in your back pocket to help yourself and your family. It's an ongoing process of education. Even at this stage, after over 44 years of clinical practice, I keep trying to put information into its right perspective, because I teach all over the place. I have patients that we continue to consult with, doctors that I need to direct, and to give you the most unbiased data as I possibly can. Do your homework. That's the whole reason that we do this program. Make sure you do what you need to do for yourself. We're here every week bringing you pieces of information that you're not going to hear anyplace else. We want you to be able to have as much data as you possibly can get, again, so you can help yourself and your families. I do this program only for one reason. It's simply because I do love you. See you next week. Take good care. Bye.